Well, welcome to the bullpen. I'm Steve Berry. Glad to have you along. We are trying to get a technical issue resolved with our studio so that you can actually hear the interview with Willie Taggart from the beginning of spring football. And right now, still trying to work on that, get it resolved so that everything works the way it's supposed to work. And if we don't get it resolved, we'll have it on the board so that you can listen to a great interview with Coach Willie Taggart as he talked about sleeping in his clothes, getting ready for his first practice as the USF head football coach. I'm Steve Berry. Welcome to the bullpen. Glad to have you along. We are live for the next hour talking high school or talking college football, college basketball, college baseball, talking everything basically right here with you. And we'll be doing so for the next hour. Nick Grinowitz will join us at 5:30 to talk USF baseball. We'll also be joined by Josh Appel around 5:10 to talk about the first spring practice. The first spring practice is in the books and everything going the way it's supposed to go. Coach Willie Taggart excited about getting things going and having an opportunity to get the first practice underway. He did so. The Bulls enjoyed their first practice. Our toll-free number is 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. And just a couple of notes from practice. If you read our website, we had notes up from Josh Appel as he's been covering spring football from day one. A couple players out with injuries that did not make the spring practice and are not expected to make the spring practice. A couple of suspensions. One player that of note, Aaron Lynch, just a physical specimen. He's a transfer from Notre Dame. He's out on the field practicing. Had to sit out last year due to the transfer rules. Lynch will be a welcome addition to that USF lineup. Mike Pierre, Marcus Shaw, both getting first team reps at running back. Marcus Shaw, the returning running back, has the lead on that. This is a need the Bulls are going to have for 2014. They're going to have to address the running back situation that they have because their depth numbers are just so low that it's going to be a critical need for recruiting. And of course, they signed Tice and they signed McCray. But both those will be incoming freshmen next year. They still need to start getting that cupboard full. Spring practice got started. Coach Willie Taggart slept in his coaching clothes the night before practice, and all he did was got up, put on his hat, and walked out to the spring football field. 888-429-5471, the number to call. As I said, Josh Appel hopefully joining us at 5:10 to talk a little USF football and talk about today's first spring practice. No practice tomorrow. The Bulls will resume the practice field on Friday. And when they go at it on Friday, they'll be getting ready to jump into that Saturday practice, which is open to the general public. And you don't want to miss that practice from 2 to 5 p.m. on Saturday. Yesterday, we were told that Sterling Griffin and Chris Bivens would both sit out spring practice. Both were in uniform today on the field going through individual drills. Now, that could change once they put the pads on. There's no real need to risk further injury to those two, especially with Bivens and Griffin nursing the injuries of knee injuries. And Thor Dworzik and Demi Thompson both worked out on the side as well. Coach Willie Taggart also said in his Monday press conference that all positions are wide open. Now, what does that mean? That means quarterback, running back, offensive lineman, defensive lineman, tight end, defensive back. It's all wide open. And you have to like that about Coach Taggart telling the kids point blank, they're going to earn their keep. They're going to get an opportunity to play. They're going to get the chance to go out and show themselves. And that's huge. That is huge for everybody concerned and a great opportunity. 888-429-5471, the number to call. We are live from the studio, and our good friends at BBS Radio carrying the show live to you. We were going to also be joined at 5:30 by Nick Grinowitz, who's going to talk a little USF baseball and the USF baseball team doing very, very well, having rebounded quite nicely for their season and gotten themselves back above 500, a good win, sweep over Florida A&M during the weekend. And then they bounce back and get a big win over Bethune-Cookman last night. So a lot of things to talk to you about, a lot of things to go over with you, a couple of news and notes on recruiting-wise. And, of course, if you missed it yesterday, the Bulls picked up a verbal commitment, picking up a commitment from Frankie Hernandez at Largo. Hernandez will visit this weekend during spring football, and he has already committed to the university. He is joining his teammate, Jarvis Stewart, who committed earlier in the season. So two players from Largo already committed, along with Jimmy Bays, who was at the campus this past weekend as well, and will be at the Rivals Camp Series presented by Under Armour this weekend over at Lake Gibson High School. So that also open to the public. You may want to check that out as things go on. Okay, we are going to continue to talk about football, talk about basketball, talk about baseball, of course, basketball. The USF Bulls heading out to Lubbock, Texas to play Texas Tech as they get seeded into the tournament and will have an opportunity to show their wares. So a lot of things going on for USF Athletics, and we're happy to talk with you about it. And as I mentioned, softball on a 15-game winning streak. Cassandra Kahn will join us later on in the show to talk about USF softball as they got off the schneid and have really gone on a tear. 15 straight wins for USF softball. Right now, we're going to take about a 60-second timeout. When we come back, we'll regain our thoughts and hopefully be joined by Josh Appel. We'll take a 60-second timeout back after this. This is The Bullpen on BBS Radio. All right, welcome back to The Bullpen. I'm Steve Berry. I'm joined by senior writer Josh Appel, who was at football practice today. And Josh, Coach Willie Taggart could not have been more ready for football if he had come out of the womb born than he was today.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Somebody asked him, you know, what he wanted to accomplish today, and he said, I was so excited to be out here. I was out here on the field yesterday. I went to sleep in my practice clothes today. The only thing I wasn't wearing when I was talking to you guys are my shoes. I had everything else on, my whistle, my hat, my clothes, and everything. He was pumped. He was ready to be out there.
Wow. So he was ready to be out there. Now tell us, I mean, today, the first of a new era, had to be exciting for you as an incoming freshman last year, went through a 3-9 football season, and then to see the enthusiasm. I mean, there's enthusiasm everywhere tonight.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's brought a whole new culture to this football program, and the players have seemed to feed off of that as well. I mean, you talk about a fan base, but it's more important that the players are, because you talk to Bobby Evel, you talk to Matt Floyd, and Andre Davis even during, he had some issues last year. I don't know if it was coaching staff or some of his teammates early in the season, but he talked about all three of them alluded to the fact that, hey, it's a new start. Let's forget everything that's happened in the past. Let's move forward and try to get better from here. We don't want to experience anything like last season. I think Willie's done a great job of changing the culture here in this program.
Okay, so the obvious thing that you talked about is the quarterback battle. Talk a little bit about what you saw today. Obviously, the quarterback's doing some throws, working with the quarterback's coach, working with the offensive coordinator. Talk about what you see. You've got Matt Floyd. You've got Tom Eveld. You've got Bobby Eveld. You've got Trent Miller. You got Munoz. Talk about the quarter. There's five quarterbacks battling for one starting job, and you have, what, six games total experience under center out of those five?
Five starts. There's a little bit more than five. There's more game experience, but as far as starts go, there's only five between the five of those guys, and two of them are Eveld and Floyd. But you're not really going to be able to see who the starter is going to be after spring. Willie said in his pre-spring press conference, then reiterated today, that he's not going to be naming a starter until after the summer starts and we get more into fall practice and training camp. But all quarterbacks are going to get an equal opportunity here. And you don't even – you mentioned those five guys. You forget that Mike White is coming in at the beginning or in the summer, rather, so he's going to be there after spring. Not sure how much of a disadvantage it is for him, considering that everything's open and they're not naming somebody until after the summer. So he can step right in, and if he shows that he can do the job, then I'm sure that they'll give him the opportunity. But today, it's first day of spring practice, first practice under the new coaching staff, and can't really get a grasp of who is the number one guy or who the number two guy is. Today, the quote-unquote number one looked like it was Bobby Ebell, and Floyd was number two, and then the rest of the guys worked with some of the reserves. But, again, it's the first day of practice, and we were only allowed to be there for the first 30 minutes, so that's all we got to see. We'll see more as time progresses, but for now it looks like Ebell than Miller.
And, of course, you know, one of the big things that's going to happen during the summer workouts is going to be the addition of Mike White from University School.
Oh, absolutely. And he brings something that Coach Taggart wants in a quarterback. And he said this time and time again, reiterated it today. Someone who's smart, hates turnovers, hates incomplete passes, loves completing the ball, the typical coach speak. But Mike White brings that to the table. He's an under the radar kind of guy coming out of university school. He was a 2-star recruit, upgraded to a 3-star recruit. And you don't really know. I mean, it all depends on the player. I've always maintained that the star system, because it's so different everywhere, that it's not really a good barometer on the top. It all depends on the kid when he comes in. But Mike White has all the tools to be a good player here and even compete for the starting job right away. It'll be interesting to see, though, because he's also we've talked about this before, but he's also a baseball player, and he plans to play baseball here. He's talked to Lalo Prado about it, and he's talked to Willie about it, and I believe the rule is that you can't play both sports. Like, the first year you can't play both. So I guess he has to choose one the first year or sit out the other. He did 4 years of eligibility. So I've been thinking about this, and it's interesting. If he doesn't get that starting job, they might let him play baseball the first year, maybe, and have him have the 4 years of eligibility after that. I don't know. I'm just speculating. But he definitely has a shot just as much as these guys do. And, again, it's a whole brand-new offense, not the same one as last year. So everyone's learning new. Everyone.
All right, Josh, you're going to be covering spring football throughout the spring. Obviously, a break this weekend as you do a little hockey play-by-play. But tell me the biggest thing that Coach Taggart and his staff is going to have to accomplish this spring.
It's getting everybody to know the new system. It's a new defensive scheme. It's a new offensive scheme. And getting the buy-in. Willie's preaching accountability here. All the players need to be accountable. We saw last year Demetrius Murray came into camp overweight, and he started right away. Marcus Shaw had a couple of on-field, off-the-field incidents, and he's now, Willie talked about how he's become accountable for himself. There's three suspensions right now, and someone who USF heavily relied on last year before he got hurt, Terrence Mitchell, and accountability and learning the new scheme is absolutely the top two things that Willie is trying to bring in here. Another thing I guess you could kind of throw up there is toughness. He's I'm not saying that Skip's teams weren't tough, but Willie has, in the few times that the media's been able to speak to him, he's absolutely put that first. It's toughness, accountability, and, of course, learning the new offense, because they're going, again, from a spread to a pro.
All right, so in 2014, the Bulls have a few targets out there. A few participated in the Nike football training camp. A bunch of them, 74 targets, are going to be in Orlando this next weekend for the Rivals Camp Series presented by Under Armour. Really looking forward to seeing that, because that in and of itself, having gone out to Texas last weekend, watched Jordan Blake, the quarterback/athlete that USF is recruiting out of Texas. He performed very, very well in the Rivals Camp Series, and he has got an incredible command of just a lot of football knowledge. He's a coach's son, and it really shows in talking with him and in getting to that conversation. So, 2014, who's the biggest one that USF has got to get? Is it Chase Litton from Tampa area? Is it Jimmy Bays, the 4-star defensive back that's already verbally committed? Or do they have a shot at flipping Joseph Yerby, the running back from Miami Central that just flipped, obviously, from Florida State to Miami, but now his high school football coach, Telly Lockett, a guy he's very close to, is now the running backs coach at USF.
You know, I'm not sure if you can actually pinpoint on what the top need is right now. I think you kind of have to look at what you have. Because you mentioned Chase Litton at the quarterback spot. You kind of have to look at what you have right now because you've got, again, a kid coming in who's a freshman who might be able to step in right away. It's unlikely, but he does have the ability. So you don't know, you know, what you have right now. I think you have to look. If you're in a situation like you were last year and you had B.J. Daniels and then unknowns unknown, then, yeah, you look at Chase Litton and say, that's the guy we need to bring in. But at this point, you don't know what you have, and you kind of have to look first. You don't have that solidified guy, if you understand what I'm saying. I think that the most important guy that they should try and flip is Yerby, because that running back position, I mean, you talk about a quarterback being an unknown. The running back position in Willie Taggart's offense is probably one of the most important, and there isn't really a lot of guys back there. I mean, you got Mike Pierre, you got Marcus Shaw, Willie Davis and Bradley Battles, who's suspended right now. You have nothing back there. And just like quarterback, no experience. And when you have that position that's so important for this offense, I think Yerby's a guy that they're probably going to try to flip moving forward in the class of 2014.
All right, Josh, final thoughts on day one of the Willie Taggart era, as football coach of the USF Bulls. And I say day one because obviously spring practice is really the first day that Willie Taggart grabs the reins and the fans and the reporters get a chance to see the Taggart mentality. Scale of 1 to 10, how do you score the new head coach?
It's 10 right now. I mean, there's a whole new swagger to this team. I mean, Tom Thibault had a great article on GoUSFBulls.com, the official athletic site, and he had a great line that he dropped. It's the Willie Taggart era got off to a great start with speakers on the back of a golf cart blaring out music as they started the stretch today. I'm paraphrasing there, but it was something along those lines. There's a whole new swagger to this team, and the players are really feeding off of it. Everybody was really loose out there, and they were so excited to get back in the field. And a lot of that has to do with Willie and the job he's done so far before they even hit the field. 10 for Willie.
A 10 for Willie. Okay. One final question. I know I said the last question, but that was the last question about USF spring practice. The new addition since last we talked, Paul Ganella, recruiting coordinator. Your thoughts?
I don't see how a guy who's how Alabama and the word recruiting go together, how that could be a bad addition to USF. It will likely help. He knows the area where Nick Saban recruits, and we know recruiting is a cutthroat process. And Alabama and recruiting right now are at the college, the pinnacle of college football right now. And any time you can snag a guy from there, it's a plus and a great addition to the football program.
All right, so Stu Holt, in case you missed it, leaving the recruiting duties behind as far as recruiting coordinator, moving over to special teams coach. He had a pretty good guest come in a couple of weeks ago, and A.J. Wells, the punter. He's already got Emilio Nadelman from Miami Central. You got a chance to talk to A.J. Wells. That's a critical, critical need for the Bulls is that special teams play. And I think Munoz, if I'm not mistaken, the backup quarterback, can also punt the football.
Yeah, Munoz was a punter, back quarterback now, but Wells texted me last night. Wells will be here for the spring game on April 13th. And they want him to be a punter, and he will be here at USF at Raymond James Stadium on April 13th for the spring game. Chose USF over Kentucky as far as where to attend the spring game. But it's still so early in the process. But still, a good sign for USF that he's, you know, picking them over another top-flight school who, quite frankly, has been, you know, taking a couple of recruits from down here.
Well, yeah, I mean, Mark Stoops doing a great job at the University of Kentucky getting some football players from the state of Florida. It seems like there's a lot of battles right now going down between UK and USF, especially between Taggart and Mark Stoops, and that's going to be interesting to watch. A couple of basketball notes. Demetrius Henry will be visiting USF. That is confirmed. We don't have the date yet, but he is supposed to announce on April 13th, which is the day of the spring foot. It's either April 13th or April 17th. I just got my dates mixed up. But Demetrius Henry, one of the top players in the country, expected to announce in April, and he will be taking a visit to USF. We had that on Running the Bulls. Josh Appel, we're going to let you go, and we're going to play your interview with Coach Willie Taggart as you got a chance to talk with him among the other media members this morning as football practice started. Thanks very much to Josh Appel, our senior writer, who will be covering USF spring football right now. We're going to play that interview, a five-minute interview with Coach Willie Taggart, as he was excited this morning to get things going. Here's that interview.
Hey, guys.
Tell the rain to dampen your spirit this morning.
No doubt. It's football time. You're out. Rain, sleet, or snow. Get an opportunity to come out here and get better as a football player, as a coach, as a person, and where else would you rather be than out here with your teammates and playing football?
Did you sleep well last night waiting for this?
I slept great. I was up, ready to roll. I went through my script last night. I was ready to go.
What was the message to the guys this morning? Okay.
Hey, come out, have fun, get better. You know, it's a great opportunity to get better. You know, all these guys here want to work on their craft. On their craft, and be a great football player.
You feel like you need to start building respect with these players now, or do they already have your respect?
I would like to say they have my respect. If they didn't, I don't think they'd be here right now. You know? But I think those guys respect what we're doing as coaches, and we respect them too as players. You know, and I think right now these guys are just excited about getting out here and getting better as a football player.
Well, you hear the music, you see the guys jumping around. What else can we expect in terms of just different atmosphere around practice?
I can't tell you what's different. You know, this is just how we do it. You know, we come out here and, again, ready to attack this day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. You know, have some juice. You know, come out here, be dull and bored. It's football and come compete in time and excited to get out here. So I want guys excited and fired up. You see them all day, every day, walking around with these headphones on. And that get them going, so why not have a little music to get them going?
So your personal music list there?
Say that again?
Is that your personal music list?
No, my unity council. We have a unity council, let those guys come on their football team. You know, want them to have clean, good music. That's going to get us going.
Tell us about the unity council. Who's on it? Seniors?
It's a mixture of freshmen, sophomore, one freshman or a sophomore, three sophomores, three juniors, and three seniors. You know, and they're the voice of the football team. You know, those guys got an issue, you go in front of the unity council. You know, and they take care of this football team for them.
Does that rotate, or that the same guys will be in place all spring, all season?
All spring, all season. They're the boys, and you get voted on.
How were they chosen? From their teammates or from the coaching staff?
From the coaching staff.
Coaching staff.
And then from here on, it'll be from the unity council. They're both guys in. You got to have all three things we evaluate our team on. That's been a great football player, great student, and have a great character. Got to represent all three.
Coach, when you woke up this morning, what was the first thing you were thinking about knowing you're coming out here for your first practice?
Finally, get out here, get on this field. I was out here mentally locked in yesterday. I walked every practice field, just ready to go, and got up this morning. I actually slept in my practice uniform, so I'm ready to go. Just have to put on shoes.
Day one, what do you want to accomplish just in this first day?
Get better, have fun, you know, go all out, don't be afraid to make mistakes. You know, we've got to go out and just go hard, and see how good we can be today. Great opportunity to see how good we can be.
What qualities are you looking for in starting quarterback?
I said the other day, I'm smart, tough, mentally and physically tough, highly competitive, hate losing, hate incompletions, you know, hate interceptions. Guy that loves football, you know, a guy that wants to be the guy, you know, not just the quarterback, but the leader of the football team, you know, and represent the football team how we want to be.
Got time for one more.
Yes, I slept in this. What? A whistle?
Whistle on.
Whistle on.
That's dangerous.
My hat wasn't on, but my whistle was on.
Yeah, just literally rolled out of bed, put your shoes on.
Right or wrong.
You do that the night before their first game as well?
No.
All right, thanks, coach.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Hey, how are you?
Speak to the media. And he did that today, and that was Josh Appel doing the recording. A little bit of winded, you know, a little bit of rain, didn't dampen the spirits, jumped out of bed ready to go, all dressed up for school. I remember first day of school, it was sort of the same thing, just jumped out of bed all wrinkly clothes and ready to go hit it. All right, we'll go from football to baseball as managing editor Nick Grinowitz joins us now. Nick, welcome aboard to the bullpen, and baseball has gotten above 500, softball on a 15-game winning streak. It's good to be a USF Bull about this time of year.
Yeah, it is. Baseball team was at 500 for a moment, Steve. They're back under after a loss to Bethune Cookman last night. They're at 10-11 at this point. But, you know, they make it 11-12, I think, actually. But, you know, tough loss for them last night, but they're coming off of a big swoop against Florida A&M over the weekend, and they head into Big East play this coming Friday, Saturday, and Sunday against Cincinnati.
Well, we say Big East. I mean, we don't know what the conference is going to be called next year. We know it's going to be a new name, as the Big East is now belonging to the Catholic Seven. I kind of like the Catholic Seven. I think they should just stick with that name, or the Catholic 12. But the Big East will be changing its name come very, very soon. But USF baseball, 10-11, 11-12, needing to get hot at the right time, especially with the Big East coming up, Big East play coming up.
Yeah, they do. And if you talk to head coach Lalo Prado, you know, he talks a lot about non-conference play like it's a training ground for going into Big East Conference play or for conference play. And that's because in the Big East Conference, you think about it as a major conference for basketball and maybe a little bit for football. But for baseball, it's really a mid-major conference. They're going to get one, maybe two teams every year into the NCAA regional in search of heading to Omaha for the College World Series. And Lalo Prado knows that he needs to have his team hitting the right stride as they head into conference play. Now, Cincinnati comes in at 6-10. They've got a couple of arms, couple of bats. One of their outfielders, Glass, was preseason all Big East, just like USF's James Ramsey was. But the Bulls in years past have had a pretty easy time against Cincinnati, but it's always going to be all about the pitching for them. And they're coming off a series where, and even four straight games where the pitching has looked very good. The freshman Jimmy Hergett was sensational in his start against FIU, and really kind of an overall season look. He's been very good. Nick Gonzalez is coming off of a career-high eight innings pitch in a win against Florida A&M. Joey Lavecchio, who had looked just dreadful, as bad as you can get, heading into his start against Florida A&M, pitched seven innings, allowed an earned run. And, you know, Mike Clarkson pitched two earned runs over six innings on Wednesday and took the loss, but the pitching has looked better the last couple of days. Now, of course, the last couple of games, the competition has not been as good, but you like some of the numbers they're throwing out there. Walks are staying low. Guys are getting out of jams when they're in trouble, and the offense put up 33 runs over the weekend. You have to like that.
Well, you know, obviously we talked a little bit about Mike White in the previous segment with Josh Appel, and talked about Mike White's baseball prowess and the discussion about whether Mike would come to USF and play baseball or play football, because I know he can do one or the other the first year, but he can't do both, if I'm not mistaken, on the NCAA rules. Am I correct, or did we misread that rule?
I believe that you're correct there. I know B.J. Daniels played basketball his first year at USF and then chose football. But I don't know if you're right or not. I'd have to take a look at that once again. I know Pat Connaughton from Notre Dame played basketball last year and baseball, and I haven't gotten a chance to take a look at Notre Dame's roster yet as to whether or not Mr. Connaughton is set up and ready to go for them. If he's not, that's a huge loss for Notre Dame, because Pat Connaughton hits in the high 90s and was drafted by the Yankees coming out of high school. But I'll have to check that. We'll have to update everybody in the next podcast as to whether or not what the NCAA rule is on that. But I thought they could play both sports if they wanted to going forward, but it might work into the eligibility rule.
I think you're correct. I know we were discussing it earlier, because I know Jameis Winston, the Florida State quarterback / baseball player, is playing both. 888-429-5471, the number to call if you want to talk to Nick Grenowitz or Steve Berry. 888-429-5471. We're talking all things USF, but right now we're focusing on baseball, as the Bulls baseball players about to get into Big East play. They start a three-game set with Cincinnati. And, Nick, a lot of things going on the campus, especially with spring football getting underway.
Yeah, you've got spring football, baseball, softball, women's basketball heading to the NCAA tournament. They'll take on Texas A&M on Saturday. So that's not on campus. I'd imagine that there's going to be a watch party or something. But, you know, as I wrote in an earlier column, you know, spring sports is definitely in swing. I mean, full swing, that is. And part of it is because the baseball team and the softball team play so many games. I mean, you've got softball playing tonight. They're looking for their 16th straight win. And those teams have been on a winning streak as of late. I mean, 16 straight for softball. The baseball team has turned it around a little bit. And, of course, the women's basketball team got some big wins down the line over some ranked opponents. And I thought they were going to get Notre Dame and Hartford, but unfortunately they didn't. But, you know, all the teams have been playing pretty well. I've been very happy with the product on the field.
Well, you know, that basketball program did have Notre Dame on the ropes in Tampa earlier in the year, took them to overtime. And, of course, in Hartford, as you mentioned, they led Notre Dame by, what, 6 points and were shooting lights out from the three-point play land, but just ran out of steam.
Yeah, and it always seems like in those games, the underdog team never seems to be able to get a call from the referees. But, you know, that's my opinion, of course. You know, it always seems like the whistles may get stuck in the referee's mouth during a couple of those big plays. I always feel like they might look up at the scoreboard and say, "Ah, you mean Notre Dame's not going to make it to Saturday's championship against UConn? We better hold on here for a moment." But
You know, you won't have to worry about that next year because Notre Dame will be in the ACC, so you don't have to worry about that next year.
Right. Well, maybe next year USF will be in a position where they're the ones that are getting those calls. You never know. They'll be the most tenured team in whatever the new conference is. Or, well, I guess it'll be a new conference, so not everyone would be tenured. Would be tenured equally. But you know, it was a good season for the women's team. I mean, they move forward. Hopefully, they can keep it going. But you know, the baseball team has three against Cincinnati this weekend, and if you're Lalo Prado and the Bulls, you have to be thinking that you need a sweep. But like I said, Cincinnati's 6-10 coming in, and, you know, Lalo has always said, you know, you have to focus on those home games in conference play. You need to win 2 out of 3, if not come up with a sweep. And there are some teams on the Bulls' schedule that they can definitely do well against. Georgetown comes to mind, Cincinnati. They've got a slate against UConn at home. That's always a tough series. But one team the Bulls aren't going to see this year is fourth-ranked Louisville. They will not be coming either to Tampa. The Bulls will not be playing a three-game series in Big East play against the Cardinals. They played them once as a non-conference game, the first game of the year, and got drubbed, and I'm sure that Lalo and the crew are very happy they're not going to see Louisville again until perhaps the Big East tournament.
Nick, what is this baseball team missing? What do they need?
You know, I don't know if they're necessarily missing anything. I mean, they're missing a big arm. They're missing, and it's not whether or not they have the guy in the roster, it's whether or not the guy's getting it done. And, you know, the pitching just has not showed up. It's points in the season, and I'm talking about against more difficult opponents. You know, the Florida State, those kind of teams, Louisville comes to mind, Indiana, Purdue come to mind, you know, teams that Purdue, the Bulls did well against, but they haven't had an arm step up, and, you know, they just don't have a guy in the roster that can start on a Friday night. You think about your Randy Fontanezes and your Andrew Barbosas. You know, you start on Friday night and you're thinking, all right, well, we've got this one. Let's worry about Saturday and Sunday. And there's no guy in the roster like that. And the other thing the Bulls are missing is the guy that's going to hit, you know, 15 to 16 bombs in the season. Chris Norton's been off to a really great start. He's looked very, very good. But, you know, he had his third home run of the season, I want to say, last week. I don't know if he's going to be able to keep that up. So they're missing a little bit of power at the plate, but guys like Anthony Diaz and Alex Mendez has swung the bat very well, have been able to take care of that just with doubles and triples and getting on base. And, you know, if this team goes through a cold spell with the bats, they're going to be in some trouble because they don't seem to have the arms either in the starting rotation. There's some holes in the bullpen, too, such as Chad Taylor gave up 2 runs last night, walking a run. That's really what they're missing, a big arm, I think, even more than the bats.
All right, Nick, so you've been watching the baseball season develop, and, of course, you are a former baseball player, and you've done a great job of covering the team. And what are the strengths? I mean, you mentioned the fact they need a big arm. What are their strengths?
Their strengths, I have to say, are more on the offensive side of the game. First of all, the team does a great job working the count. Chris Hines has done a nice job getting those guys to be patient hitters, and the first guy that comes to mind is James Ramsey. I mean, James Ramsey's freshman and sophomore years, even though he finished over 300 last year, were look at a pitch, maybe two, and he's swinging away. Now you see guys like Alex Mendez, Kyle Keith, James Ramsey, Chris Norton, even Blake Sadecki, who struggled at the plate to start the year, taking deep counts. What you're doing there is you're really wearing down the opposing pitcher, making him work. And even if you see 7 or 8 pitches and ground out, although you didn't really get on base, you used up 7 or 8 pitches. And the guy's done it 100 or 110 in this game. And sometimes even before that because they're still developing. You know, another thing they've done really well is they've been able to string hits together, 3, 4, and 5, and that's how this team scores runs. You know, they're the kind of team where they're going to average about 5 to 6 runs this year, but they're going to need double-digit hits to do it because they don't have a lot of extra base power. So that's something that the team has done well, and they definitely need to keep doing that. And one guy, like I said, Chris Norton, I mean, he's hitting in the high 300s, I think it is, after last night's game. He's put together an 8 or 9 game hitting streak as of late. Hit 3 home runs, driven in a bunch. He was a guy that had 1 hit all of last year, and he already has, I think, 14 or 15, if not more, in this season. And he's just racking up multi-hit games, and he's been able to get on base, and he solidified himself as a designated hitter. And there are guys on that team that the Bulls, I think, expected to get more playing time, but Chris Norton has taken it because he's played so very well. So he's a guy to keep an eye on, I think, for you know, maybe to have an all Big East season if he can keep this up. And if he keeps it up, he'll have it for sure. But definitely a surprise in my book for him. But they've done a nice job, frankly, just driving in runs, being able to manufacture them without getting the home run.
All right, and don't forget there's a few players that are going to be joining the team next year, and that should help things out as the Bulls continue to develop their program and continue to try to get to Omaha and get to a NCAA regional. We'll follow baseball all year long. Nick will have analysts, and he'll have coverage of the Cincinnati series this weekend as well as the practice on Saturday that's open to the public. I know that's got to be an exciting time to be involved with USF Sports.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of people are really looking forward to that. Josh was at spring practice this morning, and Willie Taggart talked about how the team needs to be tough and get after it. And, you know, when Skip Holtz got hired, it was all about a Holtz new era. And I think people have tried to come up with a slogan, for this new program. You know, it can't be a new Taggart era or something like that. You know, I think that everyone should really look for it to be a tough era. I think that Willie Taggart wants, Taggart's tough era or something like that. So Taggart wants to have a tough team, and they start this week. And I think everyone's really excited to see what some of the battles are, you know. Swain coming in, Saffold coming in, those guys, you know, they're going to battle for some playing time early. And then, of course, when you hit the summer, you're going to have all of those incoming 2013 signees as freshmen in the mix as well. So it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And, of course, the quarterback battle is always the first thing that comes to mind. You know, is it going to be, Floyd for another year, or is Eval going to take it in his senior season? You never know.
All right, Nick, thank you so much, and we appreciate you joining us here in the bullpen, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
No problem at all. Take it easy, Steve.
All right, Managing Editor Nick Grinewitz, Managing Editor of RunningTheBulls.com, and also Director of Student Radio for Bulls Student Radio, play-by-play voice of basketball, and a man about town. If you ever need anything, Nick is your guy. All right, Nick Grinewitz has joined us. Cassandra Kahn will be joining us to talk a little USF softball as they are on a 15-game winning streak and going for number 16. But we will take a one-minute break, step aside, and talk to Cassandra when we come back. This is The Bullpen. The number to call if you want to get in is 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. Back after this one-minute timeout. All right, welcome back to the bullpen. I'm Steve Berry, being joined here shortly by Cassandra Kahn, our women's sports editor for RunningTheBulls.com. Cassandra doing a great job at covering USF softball, and she had a great story on a USF softball player that ran yesterday on our website. If you missed it, you can just log in to RunningTheBulls.com. scan on down to the story on Courtney Salvadora. And Courtney, an interesting story. Salvarola is a great player with a lot of history and a lot of background playing shortstop. Got a little power, a little pop in her bat. As a matter of fact, she's driven in 17 runs and hit four home runs in her last 10 games. So that's not too shabby at all. And Cassandra does a great job of profiling everything from her favorite meal to what is her favorite dance move. So check that out on runningthebulls.com. 888-429-5471. Cassandra has joined us, and Cassandra, the girls going for win number 16 in a row.
Yes, they 16 in a row. That's right. I'm actually right here at the stadium right now as we're waiting for them to get started at 7 o'clock. But they're here, and it's actually Military Appreciation Day, so they're going to get that going pretty soon.
Well, Semper Fi and hoorah for that one.
Yeah.
All right, so
they've
tell me
a little nice,
go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. They're going to be wearing some nice military-style jerseys. They look pretty nice. I saw them, and I think they're going to do some military-themed things before the game.
Well, I'm looking forward to that, and I know you'll have some coverage, but tell us about this 15-game winning streak. The Bulls have really turned up the offense.
They really have, and that's really what led to this 15-game winning streak, because the pitching has been there for most of the season. And as Coach Erickson said, the pitching in baseball and softball is really what's there to begin with. But usually, as the season moves on, the bats are what take time to heat up. And it looks like the bats for the Bulls have heated up with that middle of the lineup of Courtney Salvarola and Kinshara Jackson and Stephanie Medina. They are ridiculously hot right now, and it's really 1 through 9. Anyone can get a hit in this lineup, and if they need to pull someone off the bench and put them in, they can get a hit too.
Well, this team, obviously, Sam Greiner and the folks coming in this year, a lot of potential, and it seems the team is gelling at just the right moment.
It is just the right moment. Conference play starts on Saturday. They'll kick it off against Rutgers, who I'm actually watching play right now. They're playing Dartmouth, who the Bulls play at 7. Rutgers is beating Dartmouth 6-3. It'll be a bit of a step up of a task than tonight's game, I think. But the Bulls are gelling just in time. Pitching is coming together. Defense is really starting to get locked down after it looks a little bit shaky in the first few weeks. And like we said, the hitting is really coming around. The power showing up for Jackson, Medina, Salvarola, even Sam Greiner, as you mentioned, hit a bomb over the batting cages in left field.
Yeah, I saw that 2 weeks ago, last week. That was a heck of a shot. That ball got out in a hurry, too.
It really did. You know, Sam is a pitcher, and she had no at-bats last year at all, and as this season started, I noticed Sam was taking a lot more batting practice with the team rather than pitching. The pitchers usually don't do that. And she and Erica Nunn were doing a lot of practice. And so I thought, oh, I guess Ken's going to use her more as a hitter now. And he has. She's had, I think at this point, it's just under 10 at bat. And that bomb that she hit just really shows she was a great hitter in high school. And now that she's getting a little bit more time to work on that, it's being utilized on the college level.
Well, what is the strength of this softball team as you've been watching for the last couple of weeks as they've really gelled and put together a heck of a streak? What's their biggest strength right now?
Their biggest strength by far is their pitching. Sarah Nevins and Lindsay Richardson combined, I think, are now just over about at 200 strikeouts on the season, and it's early in the season, and they've been dominating. Lindsay has 2 no-hitters already. Sarah was close to no-hitter last week. Sam has been coming in. She's a big drop ball pitcher, so really sometimes she'll get that no-hitter, but if you're a drop ball pitcher, you're really going for ground balls and stuff like that, but she's been dominant. Erica Nunn has been taking some time off because she hurt herself off when she was batting, a ball came off her shin. She made a start, but Ken didn't really like how she was approaching it, so he gave her a little bit more time. We should be seeing her more this week, I believe. But the pitching, just anywhere you go to, they've been dominating these teams.
Well, I tell you, this team, from what I saw when I was down there watching them, they have really just – the bats are hot. And the bats definitely are what's taking it taking place. And the pitching has always been there, but the bats have started to come around.
You know, the pitching is really the staple of what this team is, but the bats are really allowing them to exceed what we thought they could do. That's something they didn't have in the beginning of the season, and we kind of thought, oh, are they going to have this offense that they had or that they could rely on like they did last year? And we weren't sure, but as this 15-game winning streak has progressed, we're seeing, yes, that looks like that is something they're going to rely on, and they've got a little bit more pop in the bat than they did last year. There's a lot of small ball going on, bunting people over, and squeeze plays, which they still do now, but now you've seen things like Ashley Golf hitting three-run home runs to win the game. Everyone has a little bit more pop in their bat, and Ken can really go long ball or short, so I can't remember what he was calling himself. Drawing a blank right now, but he was just very excited that he could use both types of games to win games. And that's something that he hasn't been able to do for a while, so he's excited about that.
All right, Cassandra, one final thought on women's athletics as the women's basketball team heads out to Lubbock, Texas to take on Texas Tech. A lot of excitement in the arena, in the basketball, in the Big East room as they won or as they got the bid. I did a little piece and basically said, look, there's no way this team doesn't get a bid. I mean, they've got a couple of quality wins. They're 2-4 against ranked teams, but two of those losses to the number two team in the country, and both of those games, USF had a chance to win and was in the lead in both of those games. Of course, they lost to Nebraska early in the season, Nebraska checking in at number 24. They lost to Louisville. But they did beat Syracuse, and that really, I think, was a feather in their cap. And, of course, they lost to UConn, but then again, pretty much everybody but Notre Dame loses to UConn. So so your thoughts as the Bulls travel to Lubbock to take on the Red Raiders?
You know, the Bulls definitely deserve to be there. They came out in the beginning of the season and were great in their non-conference schedule. And when it came to the tough teams for the Big East, or what is formerly known as the Big East, they did pretty well in that too. The wins against Louisville and Syracuse, I think, is really what put them over and gave them those votes in the NCAA tournament. And you're right, when they played Notre Dame, they were close. In that first game against Notre Dame, they went to overtime. And if Andrell Smith did not foul out, I was pretty sure that they would have still won that game. And even Muffet McGraw, the head coach of Notre Dame, said, you know, she thought that they would have won that as well. As Monday, Selection Monday was coming around, even Skylar Diggins tweeted about the Bulls. She said USF South Florida definitely deserved to be in this tournament. So there's some recognition going around, and one of what I think is the best women's basketball conference, or was the best women's basketball conference. There was a lot of recognition for the Bulls and what they were able to pull off this season in that conference. And I think going forward, Texas Tech is going to be a tough opponent, but I think the Bulls really have everything going for them. They've got a lot of seniors on the team, and they've got this momentum going, and I think they're really going to succeed.
All of you who are listening, thank you very much, and thanks to BBS Radio for making it happen. Back in 2 weeks with another edition of In the Bullpen. I'm Steve Berry. Good afternoon, everyone.